Welcome back to the Second Guest Show. Like to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. He's here each and every Monday night. Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, man, we're having some bad football this weekend, except for Jaden Daniels.
Man. Jaden sort of made it palatable.
Oh, man.
And also, listen, I got to give credit. Tulane was in a wild shootout game against North Texas.
But they were way ahead, and they let North Texas State come back. But,
and
they still won.
And for bettors, and we got one guy. Every week, he sends me a deal about ask Coach, Summerall about this and that. And I was like, man, wait a minute. So I told him that last week. I said, Coach, I'm telling you, this is a guy that's gambling. I said, but this is a dude that he want to know if you're going to hit the over this week. He said, Mike, this ain't no 20-24 game. And he was right about that.
Oh, yeah.
That late score by North Texas.
Like 45-37.
It put him on the over part in that football game. But Tulane with a big win. And now a short week, and they play Charlotte this coming Thursday night.
Well, I'm wondering, Dave, did you watch all of the LSU A&M game, or did you watch the first half?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It was just, what happened to Nussmeier? Where was Nussmeier? He just didn't even show up. I mean, it was.
Well, no, he showed up. He had 400 yards passing, but LSU
you gotta have a running game.
But the picks he threw, man, oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, he's a gunslinger. He's kind of like Brett Favre, your homeboy, No, LSU got to be able to run the ball.
And the Texas A&M was a good team too. I mean,
LSU still, like, they couldn't tackle the A-chain years ago. They couldn't tackle that quarterback. Man, he had them fooled from the first snap all the way through. He was terrific.
Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman, Marcel Reed. That read option attack. We know when they play Alabama, the quarterback is going to run, but. If you look at A&M, Dave, they scored in their last five full possessions, including four straight touchdowns. No, it was a tsunami. And then because LSU was in control, you don't see that too often. It's like, the game looks like LSU's going to take care of business, and then how it flips.
Well, they figured out something at halftime.
And then the special teams. I mean, we've talked about this so many times, how their special teams has a tendency to fall apart. Okay, the first one, the snap was a little high, and it got put down a little bit. But Ramos really hit it bad. The second one, that was a snap hold issue. And then the third one, the hold is not even ready for it. Pop! It hits him in the head.
No, you have to figure out that that's unacceptable because that's 9 points, or it should be 9 points, or at least 6 points. But they have to figure out on the field goal attempts. They had three bad ones on Saturday. You really got to have no bad ones. If it's a bad one because the kicker missed it. You got to, the holder or the snapper, that should never come into question. You know, it can't be like, I don't know, you burn the midnight oil, you put the lights on at Tiger Stadium, and then we're going to get this to where it's automatic, no matter what the situation. You never talk about the damn snapper, whether it's on a punt or a field goal, whatever, until they screw up. You can't be 9 out of 10, you got to be 10 out of 10 in the holder. And how you rotate, the seams on the ball and the laces. And you do that for the kick, and then now the kicker got to make it. But, that was like you gave A&M life because of that. And not being able to convert those field goals.
And you could read Brian Kelly's lips as he's talking to the deep snapper. Hey, you control it. You control things. Just make sure the snap is right. You control it. And I think he was pointing much more of a finger at the deep snapper than he was at the holder on that. But I think the first kick, Ramos, he just shanked that one.
Yeah.
It looked like a 9-iron, and he hit it out into the woods.
And, you know, the one thing under Coach Kelly, under Coach Kelly, do y'all feel like, and LSU should always, in the history of their school, they've always been able to run the football. Can LSU run the football now? I would say no. Look, they had 24 yards on 23 carries. They averaged like 1 yard per carry. Now, you might say, well, Nussmeier, what are you going to do? It's never good, I'm telling you. Usually you're playing catch-up, or if it's your only option, you don't want your quarterback throwing the ball 50 times. And then you look at Nussmeier, he was like 25-50, 405 yards, couple of touchdowns, he had those three picks. But you don't want to feel like you want to pick and choose when he can make the plays. Not like, okay, you always have to be the difference maker or win the game without having a balance with the rushing attack.
All I know is, had they kept their starting quarterback in, LSU wins that game.
By double digits.
Man, Mike Elko was smart. He knew he had to pull him at that stage. Nothing he could do was right in that game. Now, the one thing he did do right, he turned around and handed the ball to Le'Veon Moss. Young man I saw in high school at a
Struma. And you know, he redeemed himself. How you had that verse? He fumbled at the beginning, but then he
dropped the
back.
Pass.
Yep, and he bounced back.
But, man, you talk about a guy that's pieced together. He said all week long, it's no big deal. No, he grew up an LSU Tiger fan. Come on, you can tell me whatever you got to tell
me. Did A&M give him more money?
It's
kind of like Dave Hilbert gives us more money to be in the slipper. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why.
There you go.
He originally was a commit to Alabama. Then he takes the trip to A&M.
And they gave him the bag.
Oh, yeah, man.
They gave him that bag.
You got to do what you got to do. Dave, tell us what's happening here at the Silver Slipper.
Big shout out to Lisa from Pearl River. She won that black Mustang this weekend. And
we got
a brand new. She did, man.
Oh,
she was
Pearl River.
Pearl River, man. She had to spin the prize wheel against another guy from Pearl River, and she beat him. So
there were two people from Pearl
River? Two people from Pearl River.
Pearl River versus Pearl River.
What
happened
to Slidell in the North Shore?
We had one Slidell, but it was kind of spread out this time. Even had somebody from the Bay, somebody from Biloxi. Even old Grant was out here that night.
Oh, Grant was in the running?
Now, Grant and Joey, they're kind of hoarse because they went to the Taylor Swift concert. They were screaming all the time.
No wonder he's hoarse. Yeah. I didn't realize it.
I know. I was wondering what Grant and Joey did. I didn't know they were that much of a Swiftie.
Yeah.
You know what? They're so discouraged with the Saints and LSU. They said, I might as well be a Swiftie.
Yeah, man, exactly right. At least she's happy. Good God.
I'll put it to you this way. If either one of them had tickets, they'd be scalping them.
Yeah, exactly right. And then our last Rumble on the Gulf Classic Car Jeep and Bike Night is Halloween night this Thursday, October 31st, right there. So starts around 4 o'clock. Got Monster Crawfish from Picky and playing here, so it's going to be a great time. Weather should be beautiful, and it's the last one.
So Dave, do they have you all here at the Slipper dressing up for Halloween?
They do, man. We have an employee Halloween costume contest, and it's a sight to see, Bobby.
That's outside, not inside. Yeah, right? It's a little shaky.
Well, inside you can't wear a mask.
I got you.
Because they might think you're a terrorist or something.
Yeah.
But Dave, so what is your favorite costume? What are you like all through your years?
I had a nice. I got a jumpsuit from the Army Surplus one time. It was like Top Gun. Had those yellow hands.
It looked good, man. Pretty good, Dave.
So you like a big Tom Cruise.
Big Tom Cruise, something like that. And I like something easy to put on, like I had a doctor's outfit. Had a name tag, Dr. Dave. But that was a good time. So it's going to be fun out there Thursday night. Make sure you can make it. Last one of the year, and then we start it back up in March of 2025.
And, Dave, man, almost in a blink of an eye, the holidays are going to hit. Man, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And I know you always have a big bash here for New Year's.
We will, man. I'm already getting the advertising out there for Thanksgiving. Should be really good feast in the buffet and in the Blue Bayou Steakhouse. And then, we have Jody Capretta and the Baytown Groove. That's a Bay St. Louis band, a big 9-piece band they're playing for New Year's Eve. And they're really good.
And you know, Dave, I'm going to help y'all with some promotion. I got a lot of common sense because, you know, the postseason is now 12 teams.
That's right.
Now, you think about this. You know, we're doing it all the way to the Super Bowl. You know, all the shows we do. Think about how I think it's going to be even more attractive, people wanting to watch games, because you're going to have, like, an NFL version, but it's going to be college style with 12 teams, and how meaningful those playoff games. And I know you're going to have it on the big screen.
And I just hope LSU, gets it together.
Well, they got to win 4 games in a row.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got to start with Alabama. You got to beat Alabama. Then you're going to have to beat Florida Vanderbilt, and then you got to beat Oklahoma.
Ooh,
I mean, you got to beat Alabama.
You see the cannibalism going on in the SEC, and we watched it a little bit the week before. And we see it again.
Well, now think about this, Mike and Dave. Okay, you look at week one when the season kicked off. And it doesn't matter the quarterback. He laid an egg against the Fighting Irish. When A&M was 0-1, would you have guessed the only undefeated SEC team at this time was the Aggies?
No way.
No, not Alabama, not Georgia, not Tennessee, and not, you know, look, LSU was in the Aggies. But right now, the Texas A&M Aggies are the only undefeated SEC team.
And now
that's crazy. It shows you how quickly things could change.
They play South Carolina.
South
Carolina's front seven is really good.
No, they could be
really good.
LSU was lucky to beat South Carolina.
You right about the luck.
They had a pick six, and then they knocked the crap out of you remember Nussmeyer, and they got a penalty. No, South Carolina, though, you got to be ready.
And think about what happened on the last play. They could have put that game in overtime. Field goal kicker shanks it.
Yeah.
That would have put it in overtime. Dave, number one buffet on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Number one buffet.
Number one steakhouse right here at the Silver Slipper. Come on down to the Silver Slipper.
Dave,
thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it,
man. Happy Halloween.
All righty. We'll be back with more second guests.
He's a tall Tom Cruise.
Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the second guest show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here till 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be the host, and his guest tonight will be Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and his guest tonight, Saints defensive coordinator Joe Woods. And then Monday Night Football right afterwards, Pittsburgh Steelers, New York Giants. You can hear it right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Go ahead, Big John.
Where you at, Big John?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. And where you at, says Grant. Okay. Well, look, let me first offer a very simple solution for the Anthony Richardson situation in Indianapolis. Make him go and stay with Kellen Winslow for about a week. And that image of Kellen Winslow essentially being carried off the field after the epic in Miami in 1982. Or you could just constantly show him and make him look at a photograph of Y.A. Tittle kneeling bloody on the turf at Pitt Stadium back in 1964. And maybe that'll, you know, knock some sense into his head about what is expected of an NFL quarterback. Because y'all are absolutely right. I mean, that is knuckleheadedness at its highest to just go in and to come out and admit.
Now, why admit it even if it was true?
Right, exactly. Why admit it? I mean, that's knuckleheadedness. But let me turn to the Saints. You know, tomorrow, guys, is the 95th anniversary of the start of the Great Depression. And I think I know after this weekend of LSU and Saints football what being greatly depressed really is. Because, you know, guys, when we were still looking for a winning season back in the late 70s and the early 80s, and then, you know, we'd inevitably get our hopes dashed. You know, there was always something comforting in the idea of waiting till next year because, you know, there was hope there. But, you know, Sean Payton and Drew Brees allowed us to taste the, you know, the final fruits of victory with the Super Bowl and with, you know, being a contender for year in and year out, just like Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning did with the Colts. And it's simply dissatisfying to us to have to fall back into also-ran status. And it's galling what I saw happening yesterday, especially. I told y'all it was sickening. I mean, I could give a game ball to Alvin Kamara because he did not for a moment let his new contract get into his head. And he played tough ball yesterday for 122 yards. And that was one spectacular carry he did after he got stopped cold. But, you know, aside from some good defensive plays along the line at times, it seemed to me whenever there was a chance to really make a play or keep a drive going, there's a drop pass, or there's a protection breakdown, or there's a breakdown in coverage, or there's a penalty. And it makes me suspicious as all hell, because if this is not the fault of the coaching staff to have the team ready for situations like this, then the players are subtly letting everyone know that they're not playing for this head coach anymore. And Bobby, I know you got to dance a delicate dance on the coaches show, but I hope you kind of bring that up to Dennis Allen when you ask him about that during the coaches show today.
So what you want to bring up, Big John? Say it again. I'll ask him. What you want to bring up?
Say it again so he can write it down.
Sure, absolutely. I said, you know, if the breakdowns that we saw yesterday, okay, the drop passes, the penalties, the breakdown and – you know, quarterback protection. You know, are the players letting you know that they're not playing for you anymore?
Okay, but I think they asked that question in the locker room after the last loss against Denver, and the players said that, no, we're playing for Dennis Allen. That does not come into play, but I'll ask him again if you want me to.
I mean, you can. I mean, look, hey, what you say in the at the, you know, to the reporter and everything, obviously that's going to be, you know, taken back up the line toward Mickey Loomis and Dennis Loscher. But, I mean, you know, it just, I don't know. I was sickened by what I saw yesterday. It was a lethargic performance by the team.
Sense of urgency. You know, Big John, there's no sense of urgency. You know, does it seem like that? You don't want the fan base to be complacent. I know that's one thing. It's like, oh, well, it is what it is.
But to not care.
Yeah, to not care. Yeah.
We're getting close to that.
Yeah.
And we are getting close to that.
And it's going to be interesting to see, but I think it's going to be a full house because it's Atlanta, the next home game. But we're playing at Carolina and we're playing Atlanta. So, Mike, look at the schedule. Who do we play at home that could be a team that we don't traditionally play?
Well, you play
after
Cleveland?
Atlanta. Is
the
Cleveland
Browns
after Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay, Cleveland. Could be like, yeah. And while you lay an egg against Carolina and Atlanta, that'd be interesting to see who shows up if the Cleveland's coming to town in the Dome. And I'm just telling you, you have this disgruntled fan base, and all of a sudden, you have 45,000, 50,000 people showing up. And they might say, oh, it's sold out. I don't think it's sold out. You know, that's where you don't want to get.
Well, they got the money already because the money's been paid.
Right. But, I mean,
but people showing up
who's actually in the Dome. Yeah.
Get more people. You could get more people from Atlanta at the game than there would be Saints fans because of the way.
Because they're all on the bandwagon. Because
they're winning.
Atlanta's winning. No, they're going to travel. They're going to be on the bandwagon for sure.
Yeah. Big John, I told this to Bob on the pregame. Man, I don't know about Kirk Cousins, but I always thought he really played well
about
against
Kirk
the
Cousins.
No, he always played well against the Saints. But,
yeah,
man, against Tampa, the ball barely touched the ground with him. I mean, he was dead on.
Just look at the two games. I said this in the summer. Watch what Kirk Cousins. Ain't no Desmond Ritter. Watch what Kirk Cousins is going to mean to Atlanta. You know, Mike, I've always been a Kirk Cousins fan.
No, you have. You always have.
And you know,
because I think he reminds you of you.
But you know, even a better version of that would be he reminds Arthur Blank of Matt Ryan.
Yep.
And then Matt Ryan take Atlanta to the Super Bowl. And look how so close but so far. We all know how they spent the bid on that one. So I'm telling you, that's why. But the one thing, they kind of still on that roller coaster, a convincing win. But you never know the NFL. Seattle went to Atlanta and crushed them.
Then
Buffalo goes to Seattle and crushes the Seahawks. I mean, it's like the NFL is crazy. I mean,
not when we come back because we got Coach Rebo, but you can explain this. Why certain guys play so much better against somebody else, a certain teams. Kirk Cousins has really played well against the Saints, and he's done the exact same thing to the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
but look what he did against Seattle. That wasn't a good performance at all.
So that's why, and that's the NFC South. They keep playing good against the Saints and the Bucs. That's good for us.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, and we'll bring you the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tim Rebo. The Tim Rebo Show is brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health Systems, innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. And I know you passed along to Charlie what you're eating tonight, so I appreciate you giving me that visual and that sort of taste of the barbecue. I get it. But congratulations this week. Hard-fought win against McNeese, and, man, it took it down to the end, but you guys ended up with the W.
Yeah, it was a good win, Mike. Anytime you guys know you can win at home against one of your rivals, a long history. The games have been always tough and hard fought. But look, we were up on top, and we had the lead in the fourth quarter. It was good to get the W.
Yeah, you know, this is a few years back, I was on the sidelines, and then Coach O shows up because his sons were playing for McNeese. And so, you know, he texts me, hey, I'm here. So I went and sat down with him, and he was saying, Mike, for a long time, McNeese sort of dominated against Nicholls State in that rivalry. But he said, I think it's starting to change a little bit now. He said, the Colonel's got something out on the field.
Yeah, you know, I talked about that a lot. It was like that with Southeastern, too. A rivalry is not a rivalry if somebody's kicking your butt every year. But since we've gotten here, we've gotten some rivalries back. We've beaten them now five times since I've been here, and we've actually won four in a row against them. So it feels good to get that, but mainly to keep ourselves alive in the conference race by getting to 2-1. And we scratched and clawed to get back to 4-4, get back to 500. After an 0-3 start. So really, really proud of this team and the direction we're heading.
You know, Coach Weaver, I know you would take this every game. If you have these kind of chunk plays, what can you tell the fans about Brock? I mean, I'm looking, he went 66 yards for a touchdown. And then McQuaid threw a 39-yard screen pass to Guggenheim. So, and then Brock ended up running for 101 yards on 9 carries. The only thing I would tell you, why is he only running the ball 9 times? I mean, I think
you were going to get that.
I think I might give him the ball a little more. But, boy, that's always nice when you have those explosive plays.
Yeah, listen, Bobby, you're exactly right. Nobody questions that more than myself, saying, hey, man, you got to go with the guy that's hot. He's a true freshman. He's very, very explosive. We're trying to put him in some situations to get him the ball. Because he runs hard, he runs angry, which I like. And then Colin Guggenheim just does what he does. He's been playing on a bum knee all year long, but he gets you some clutch, tough yards. And he took a screen pass right before the half. I made a couple guys miss, so it was good to get on the scoreboard.
Coach, another guy that's really broken in big for you this year, Jake D'Amato. And the story is, you know, Jake came in, you recruited him as a running back. The room got sort of full there, and he goes to linebacker, and that was a little transition. Coach, in a three-game stretch, look at what he has done for you defensively. He sort of has been your version of what we are seeing at LSU with Whit Weeks. Now, we didn't have a great game against A&M, but what Jake has done for you guys, he's like a one-man show out there on the field.
Yeah, you know, he's so athletic, Mike. He was that as a running back, too. Tough, powerful, strong. Coach Rybecki on the defensive guys are putting him in a good position to make some plays. And you know, like you do with everybody, but he's responding. He's getting some situations with matched up on the running back one-on-one trying to block him, and they just can't do it. And, you know, he has, I don't know, 3 or 4 sacks again this week. He had a safety, and he was named conference player again this week.
Now, Coach Rebo, when you looked at this, you might say, what the hell just happened? We're up 24-13, and then all of a sudden you're punting, and then one of the blockers who got knocked back toward the punter, and then all of a sudden Anise has the ball on the 28-yard line. What happened on that? It just not being firm? And because I know that's like, that's kind of comical at times when you're punting the ball into your own man. So what occurred on that? It's like almost you take for granted till it goes awry. And look at LSU. Like, okay, they're playing A&M. Can we snap the ball? Can we hold it? And can we kick it? Then all of a sudden, if it's not automatic, then everyone talks about it. So what happened on that particular punt? Because was it just an individual player getting exploded and pushed into the punter or what?
Yeah, Bobby, if I take you back one play before, it was third and about 4 or 5, and we threw a pass to Guggenheim in the flats, and he just lost his feet. He fell down. If you don't fall down, he's going to walk for the first down, and we'll probably just run out of the clock and not have to punt it. But it's what I told the team in the meeting this morning. It's about details. We were not as sharp on details. We were lined up a little bit deeper in the shield than we should have. And then all of a sudden, they weren't even coming after the punt. They were almost in a punt safe mode, and you see that happen a lot. We got knocked back, and because we were lined up wrong, it hits our guy in the back, and they get the ball, and they go in and score. So it's just an unfortunate situation, but that's how small this game is according to certain details. You have to be really, really sharp and specific all game long.
Now, Coach Rebo, boy, Stephen F., Austin is back in the fold in the Southland Conference. Talk about the challenges there. Because, you know, you look at the Incarnate Word, look at the program at Lamar, all the Texas programs. Used to be Houston Baptist. What do they call it now? Houston Christian?
Houston Christian.
Maybe not necessarily like Incarnate Word or Stephen F. and Lamar, but Stephen F., that's going to be a challenge playing them.
Yeah, listen, they're playing really, really good football right now. They're 5-3. They're 3-2 in the conference. They're really talented at the quarterback position. They got three or four running backs. They're putting up some points. I guess the thing that I'm happy about is, again, we got us another home game this week. So hopefully our defense can rise up a little bit and keep them off, and we can get our offense going. But a good football team is just like it is every week in the conference. You got to be ready to go.
Coach, Eddie from New Orleans wanted me to ask you this question. On the touchdown with Guggenheim, that was a middle screen? Because from what I saw, it was almost right smack dab in the middle of the field. Or was that something that he just sort of floated in that area and your quarterback was able to dump it off to him?
No, Mike, it definitely was a middle screen. It was called. I thought they rushed it hard, and I think we had one guy to get it over, and I think McQuay did a good job of getting it to him, getting him calling, and it was just clear sailing to the end zone.
Yeah, because, you know, in the film I saw it, it looked like a middle screen, but then sometimes it's not set up that way, and, the running back will see, maybe, oh, my quarterback's in trouble. Let me get in his sight vision a little bit. But that was a well-executed play. He had smooth sailing all the way through.
Yeah, it was good. It was the big boy. He made a guy miss one guy and tried to get a hand on him, and he didn't, so it was a good call at a good time, and it was a big point where we got some in the second half, and end of the first half, and we went for two, and we didn't get it, but it was still good to get some points on the board.
Bob?
Now, Coach Rebo, looking at McQuaid, he ended up having 178 yards passing, a touchdown, and a pick, but how about, I like this production, Terry Matthews, what, 8 catches for 94 yards. What can you tell the fans about Terry Matthews?
He's been playing really good for us the last couple of weeks, Bobby, and really proud of him. He was an inside receiver for us, and we had a couple guys go down at the receiver spot, and we moved him to the outside, and he's been very, very productive. He's really got good hands. He's not the big outside-type receiver, but he really is, can be an electric with the ball in his hands. So really, really, he's playing well for us right now. He's going to have to continue to do that until we can get some of these guys back.
Coach, one of the texters wants to know about the health as you enter this game Saturday at home in Thibodaux at John L. Guidry Stadium against Stephen F. Austin. Your health?
Yeah, I think anytime you play in 8 games in this league, you're going to be banged up. And we got a few bumps and bruises. We got some guys. It seems like this, Mike, every time we get one guy back, we get another one that gets banged up and goes out. But I told the team I was proud of them the way some of these guys are stepping up and responding and playing. And then when we do get these guys back, we should be better off for it. But we're about as healthy as we can be. We're not going to look and make any excuses. We'll use the next man up mentality because we got a bunch of good players.
Coach, let me let you run. I know I can hear the stomach grumbling from over here. I know where you're headed, but I appreciate your time, brother. Thanks so much, and good luck this coming Saturday against Stephen F. Austin.
All right, guys. See you next week. Thank you.
All right, Coach Rebo.
That was Nicholls State head football coach Tim Rebo. The Tim Rebo Show is brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number 2 on the second guest show live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Closing out here, hour number 2 on the second guest show. Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Had a trade this morning in the NFL. Why do you keep helping the Kansas City Chiefs? I got no idea. But the New England Patriots traded outside linebacker / defensive end Josh Uche to the Chiefs for a 2026 6th-round pick. He's on a 1-year deal, so it's almost you renting a player for the back half of the season. Just 2 years ago, Josh Bob had 11 and a half sacks. He's only played in six games this year. He's got two.
Well,
why are you helping the Chiefs?
Well, I don't know about helping the Chiefs, but the Patriots, they just rebuilding because what did they send? They send their pass rusher Judon to Atlanta, right? So you want to talk about truly rebuilding, starting over? I think that's what they're doing.
Well, you got a dime on a dollar here. A six-round pick for Josh?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the approach they're taking. And, boy, I guess when it rains, it pours. We also did talk about, what about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? And they lose to the Patriots now? Boy, Aaron Rodgers, all of a sudden, he does look old.
He
looks very old. I mean, the thing about that, Mike, you know how the sky is falling? They're hoping on the Yankees and all. But you look at New York football, between the Jets and the Giants right now, bad, and then the Bears, that loss they had to Washington, what came about there. So, that's interesting. Mike, I don't know. I looked at it. It was something I was watching this morning. I can't recall. But looking at the Chiefs' schedule, I'm telling you, the Chiefs have a chance to go undefeated.
I don't know about that, Bob.
But I'm just telling you.
That's really hard.
No, how they've been winning.
I get it.
And it could be ugly. But look at their remaining schedule, it's not like
I think we both saw the same program.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe the now the ball got to bounce your way, and it seems like it has always bounced the Chiefs' way. So
yeah, because a lot of people brought up about just sell your assets with the Saints. What? I mean, okay, because I think in the back of their mind, they have this Herschel Walker deal. Okay, who in this team is going to get you eight draft choices?
Yeah,
and seven guys in the top 100.
Because we're still talking about that. That'll never happen again.
Never happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
And so teams now, they want to bargain basement you. Okay, DeAndre Hopkins, a fifth-round pick that might be a fourth. Now a sixth-round pick for Uche? They ain't giving up much. And you're not going to get much. And do you trust that you're going to hit right?
Well, and as we go to the break, the top of the hour, Mike, do you think the Saints, their strength is schedule? So what if you have four wins against Carolina, the Raiders, and the Browns and the Giants? Does that mean anything? Hello?